How would you have liked to have been there on Holy Week? I thought it would be interesting because we're kind of a generation now where, like, most everybody has a phone and people like to take selfies and take pictures and stuff. What if they had cameras on their phones like back when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth? Wouldn't you like to see pictures of that? I'd just love to have been a part of that or see some of those videos when he raised people from the dead. I think it's interesting because, I don't know if you knew it or not, but this is like the 1st of April and it's April Fool's Day. It's crazy, isn't it? Somebody asked me yesterday, said, how come Easter is always moving in different days and it's earlier this year? I said, because God's not in charge of the date. Like, people are in the middle of this. And like, it's the third equinox of the full moon of the divided by four, and then you come on Sunday morning, April the 1st. I don't know how they decide, but it's something like that. Besides, God does have a sense of humor. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Now look at that. I mean, seriously. I mean, he made the hippopotamus. He made the giraffe. The Kardashians, he made them too. I mean, no. Okay, we'll move on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's an interesting scripture. It says, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Somebody's playing a fiddle back there, I think. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, not everybody understands the power of the cross, the significance of the cross, and what it represents in our lives today. You are a living example of the power of the cross. Over 2,000 years ago, this happened, and we are still celebrating the power of the cross. God is just as alive today as he was years ago when he rose from the dead. He is just as alive today as he ever was. I'm so thankful for that. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take a picture of y'all, a selfie. And my buddy right here, Phil's got the picture ready. Can y'all smile? So there you, okay. There's a bunch over there. There's a bunch over there. Oops, gotta get me in it. Sweet. Thank you, Phil. Now, the reason we take pictures is so we can remember. And sometimes we remember who we used to be, and there's some things about us that we need to forget, too. Amen. There's some things about us that have been washed in the blood, and God has already forgotten because he said that he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. When we ask Christ for forgiveness, our sin, he said, I will cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered. In fact, he's going to tear up and delete that picture. Aren't you thankful for that? Anybody need some of that deleting stuff when it comes to your past? I'm a lot like that. But the cross is interesting because it's a piece of wood. History has idolized the cross. It has despised the cross. It gold-plated the cross. They have burned it. They wore it. People wear the cross. And they've trashed the cross. History has done everything to the cross that they could do to the cross, but ignore it. Amen. You can't ignore the cross. History has told us there is no ignoring the cross. Max Lucado said, on the first Easter morning, the kingdom of death was repossessed and hope took up the payments. But even Easter started with the cross. It was a Friday morning, a little over 2,000 years ago. On a Friday morning, Matthew takes a picture. And I would like to ask you today, if you were there in that moment, whenever Jesus was healing the people and he was feeding the people and he was doing the things for the people, raising the dead, showing everybody that he had power over the dead, over death. When it came to the cross, many of the people that followed him, it says that they followed him at a distance. In fact, you would have to have like a telephoto lens to get a hold of some of the people because they was a long ways off. Where would you be if you were there on that day? There were certain people that were forced to be there. I think about it in Matthew chapter 27. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. The people that were forced. There was a, now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon was his name. By him they compelled to bear the cross. And when he had come to the place called Golgotha, that is a place, the place of a skull, they gave him sour wine and mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided his garments among them, and for my clothes they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. A guy named Simon, he was forced to carry the cross. He was there, and the Roman soldier said, "You need to do this." And he put Jesus' cross on the back of Simon. Have you ever been forced to do anything? Like, when I was growing up, I could have been like a drug addict because my parents always drug me to church, like all the time. It was, if the church door is open, you're going to church. Anybody got, I mean, you just grew up in this world. Some of you this morning, some of you husbands, your wife might have got you out of bed and said, "We're going to church." You feel like you were just forced to be here. Well, we're glad you came anyway, even if you got forced a little bit. No, oh, it's okay. You don't have to say amen or nothing. Some of you kids, you might feel forced to come to church this morning. But I want you to know this morning, that's not unusual in the world we live in. A lot of people have to do things not because it's their choice, but because of the circumstance that they're in. And this was Simon. This is where he was. And when we're at the cross, Simon, his picture is there at the cross. And we need to understand that sometimes it just happens that way. My dad was that way. Years ago, he was a young man, and he was out riding racehorses. He told me that, and he was just having fun on a Sunday morning. He said they had church on Sunday night, and his mom, my granny, wanted him to go to church. And he told his friends, he said, "Everybody needs to go to church on Christmas or Easter." So he said, "I got to go to church tonight because my mama wants me to go to church." Well, he went to church that night, and something got a hold of him. Something happened. Anybody been in church when something happened? Like the Holy Spirit got a hold of you, and it's a, so your heart goes to beating, and it's just like something's going on. God began to speak to his heart. And at the end of the service, the pastor asked if there's anybody who wanted to ask Christ to come into their heart. And my dad raised his hand. He came down and he gave his heart to the Lord. I'm thankful for that day. Where would I be? Where would I be today if someone didn't force my dad to go to church? So I'm thankful for that. Sometimes it's good for us not to get what we want. 5 amens. I said, sometimes it's good for us not to get what we want. Amen. Sometimes it's good for us to be disciplined even though we don't feel like it. Did you know that life is not all about having fun? Amen. Do you think it was fun for Jesus when he had that cross on his back after he had been whipped with a whip with bones and steel on it, and the gashes went on his back and was down into the bone, and he carried that cross? Thank God for Simon. He was there to carry the cross for him. It's interesting. Out of everyone in these three photos, Simon, he was a religious guy, but he was closest to the cross. In my studies, we don't really know what happened to Simon. One thing we know for us, we can be close to the cross, but far from Christ. Just because we have a cross or because there is a cross, that doesn't mean that we're close to Christ. One thing we do know, that being close to the cross and doing good works, being a good person, doesn't automatically get our ticket punched to heaven. It's not about being good and doing good works. There was a survey that went out. They told me on the radio this past week, and it said that 50% of the people in America believe that they're sinners. I'm like, what about the other 50%? And then it says this, the ones that believe they're sinners, they believe if they did more good deeds that they would be able to go to heaven. The scripture says, that's a deceptive word, because the Bible says that it's not by works that we've been saved, but it's according to his mercy. It's because of the work that he did on the cross so that we can have eternal life. It's not our works our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to his righteousness. When we humble ourselves and we accept the work that he did on the cross, we can have eternal life. It's all about him. I don't know if you knew it or not, but it's not really about you at all. It's all about him. We come for him this morning. There's a few other people there. There was some of the foolish people. In verse 38, it says that there was two robbers who were crucified him, one on the right and one on the left, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple, build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests, the holy people, mocking with the scribes and the elders, "He saved himself. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross." Did you know a lot of people want God to be their puppet? They want God to do what they want God to do. They want God to believe their word. And many times we want to make up our word. God's not up there in heaven looking down on us. Whenever we tell him how we want it to be, he's not looking down and go, "Oh, never thought of that." Because his word is the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. When we tap in to the power of the resurrection and and the power of the cross, that's when we overcome the sin and the darkness of this world, and we rise up and we have peace in our lives, peace in our marriage, peace with our kids, and God being our Savior, we know that we will spend eternity with him because he is our Lord and our Savior. A lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. I've had people want to give me a horse. Like I'm a cowboy, preacher cowboy. And have people, they want to give me a horse. And I'm like, and then they say, "Now if you take this horse, you have to give him 3 sugar cubes in the morning, 3 sugar cubes at night. And you have to pet him. And you can't take him anywhere because he doesn't want to get in the trailer. And you can't ride him too long." And they tell you everything you can't do with your horse. I'm like, "I don't want your horse because all you want is a babysitter." But isn't that the way we treat Jesus sometimes? Amen. "Well, I'll serve you if I don't have to do this, or if I can live this, right?" And then we begin to make contingencies with God. And we say, "Well, I'll do this if you'll do this." And then we play let's make a deal with God. Let me tell you something. He's God, and you're not. We're not God. So we can't make up our own word, because there's only one truth, and the truth that he said is the only truth that will set you free. So a lot of people, the foolish ones at the cross, the soldiers, the crowd, it was the religious leaders. Some people are silent and some people were loud in their opposition, at their opposition to the crowd. It was the religious leaders that hung him on the cross. The religious leaders. It's interesting to me how church people can get so lost. I got one amen on that one. I said, it amazes me how church people, because just going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Not anymore live in a barn and make you a cow. It doesn't work that way. So we have the religious leaders, those who claim the heritage of the cross. I'm thinking of us, every believer in Christ's church, the ones who have been touched by the cross but have never allowed the cross to touch them. The stuffy, the loose, the strict, the simple. Those who go to the cathedrals, the ones that go to the cowboy churches, the ones in the robes, the ones in the collars, the ones with the ties and the three-piece suits, the hats and the boots. I'm thinking of us, how we invent the important and lose sight of God's values as we go through the motions of life. I just want to say to you today, it's not about going through the motions. It's about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, dropping all pretense, dropping all pride, and serving Him. Because He is our King and our Lord. So close to the timber of the cross, but far from the blood, we huddle around the world event and we gripe and gossip and bicker over opinions and justify our hypocrisy in the name of the cross. By the way, I just want to say this. I have people and they say, well, I'm not going to that church because there's a bunch of hypocrites in that church. You know what I say? Bring us all the hypocrites you got. We'll take them all because we all need Jesus anyway. The hypocrites need Jesus and the ones who aren't hypocrites need Jesus. In other words, we got job security. Everybody needs Jesus, right? That's what I say. The first two photos were by chance. And the last one is by choice. You see, by chance, they had the Roman soldiers, the Pharisees, they had the scribes, they had all the people there in Jerusalem. And they were there by chance because they were born into that generation and they were able to witness what was happening in that generation. But what I love about church is that we are here by choice. That we've come to church because we chose to serve Him, because we chose to recognize Him and to recognize the resurrection of our King. And here we find it in verse 45. We talk about the forgiven. It says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, for the first time ever in history, the Son had been separated from the Father because He bore your sin. He became sin. He came, became sin for us. And He was the sin offering for our sins. And the perfect Lamb of God gave His life so that we could have life here right now and we could experience His peace because of what He did. Said some of those stood there and they heard that and said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and He yielded up His spirit. Then verse 51, it says this. It says, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The veil of the temple is where the presence of God dwelt. You remember all through the wilderness when they would have the temple, the presence of God was represented behind the veil of the temple. And then when Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, when He gave His life, when He gave up His life, the veil of the temple was torn in two and the presence of God comes out so that we can go directly to the throne of God. We don't have to go through a high priest anymore. We can go to God because of Jesus' sacrifice. You can have the privilege of praying to God Himself. What a privilege we have this morning. You can pray to God. It says, and the graves were open. Many bodies of the saints have fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after His resurrection. Then they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to Him, they were looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is the only picture we want to be found in when the risen Jesus Christ returns to earth. We want to be in the picture of those who've been forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb. I had an interesting thing happen to me this past week. I was doing my devotions in the morning, and it was dark outside. And as the sun came up, it was the day right after it had rained like 4 or 5 inches. Y'all remember what day that was? I don't remember. It was like this past week. But I was sitting in my living room, and I was reading my Bible and praying, and I looked outside, and we live where part of Lake Creek Bottom goes, and the whole Lake Creek Bottom was full of water. And there was water everywhere, y'all remember. And I looked out there that morning, and it was so wet, and then you know what happened? The sprinklers came on. More water. But let me ask you this. The Holy Spirit, I felt like He spoke to my heart. And I believe this is a picture of America. We have been so inundated with the gospel. We've been so inundated with the truth of the Word of God. It's everywhere. It's on television. It's on the radio. We have churches on every corner. All of America has been spoiled, and what we have done is we have been watering those who have already been watered. And I want to say to this group this morning, God expects us to take the water to the thirsty. To those who don't know, those who don't understand, the whole reason and the whole purpose for the resurrection is that we can go out from this place and take the love of Christ to people who don't know. God, it's not about us getting what we want. It's about God getting what He wants. And the purpose for Jesus' sacrifice is so that not just those who know the Word of God could continue to have the Word of God, but those who don't know can be ministered to by the people who love Jesus. God, help us as a church. Help us. In a world, value is measured by appearance and performance. But in God's photo album, a person is worth something just because he or she is a person. And God's greatest treasure is always people. He doesn't dwell in temples made by man's hands. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege. He said to the thief on one side. One guy he was just felt entitled and he had problems. And then the other one on the other side, he said, we deserve this. And he looked over at Jesus and he said, if you don't mind, could you just remember me when you come into your kingdom? In other words, he did what he's looking for. Jesus is looking for each and every one of us to do, to humble ourselves and say, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said this, he said, today, everybody say today. He said, today you will be with me in paradise because he humbled himself. Don't we need more humble people in America today? He humbled himself and he gave his life to Christ. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. What a privilege. Some people are uncomfortable with the crooks. Did you know there's going to be a lot of convicts in heaven that gave their life to Jesus? I tell you what, those people, they probably know more about grace than 1,000 theologians. Because the scripture says, whoever has been forgiven much, loves much. Is anybody here, you've been forgiven of quite a bit of things, and you appreciate it, and you fell in love with him? I tell you, yeah, what a privilege. It's interesting because a lot of people want to follow. They followed Jesus back in the day because he gave them bread and he gave them fish and he healed them, raised them up from the dead. He did a lot of things for, healed the lepers. And when he gave them this word, it says many departed from him. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, what he was talking about when we do communion, the bread represents his flesh and the juice represents his blood. He said, unless you're willing to eat my flesh, and in other words, unless you're willing to die out to yourself and to your own will, you can't be a part of my kingdom of God. Amen. So what we do up there in church, every last Sunday of every month, we baptize people. And when we baptize people, what we do immersion. And the reason we immerse people is because that's the way Jesus, the Bible says he went down into the water and he came up out of the water. And then Paul said this, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. See, it's not about Randy getting his way with God. It's about God getting his way with Randy. It's not about God getting in on what Randy's doing. It's about Randy getting in on what God's doing. Someone said they saw something on a bathroom wall, and it said, God is dead, Nietzsche. I guess Nietzsche was a German philosopher, and he was an atheist. And on the bathroom wall, it said, God is dead, Nietzsche. And then underneath it, someone wrote this. It says, Nietzsche is dead, God. Hello. A lot of people would like to have an easy gospel. I've never seen an easy cross. I've never thought that it would have been easy for Jesus to carry the cross for us. And then he asked us, he said, that we should take up our own personal cross and follow him. It takes a lot of discipline. And you see, discipline isn't fun. Do we have anybody here that like your mom and daddy read that scripture verse that says, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child? Anybody believe in that? It's like, my dad read that and he took it literally. He's like, he didn't spoil the rod. I wasn't always a good boy. Amen. And so my dad, I got up to an age where I got kind of rebellious. Well, pretty rebellious, actually. And it seemed like, I'm not sure it was completely true, but it seemed like I was getting a whipping just about every day. And my dad, his name was Jasper. Anybody remember when you put your name on the back of your belt back in the day? You know, it's like, all the old people were. My dad, I could actually, on the back of my seat, I could look in the mirror and I could read Jasper when I look in the mirror. Not fun. My dad, one time he came up to me and after I'd been bad, and he just shaking his head. We'd always go into the bedroom and he said, Randy, he said, I'm tired of whipping you. That was good news to me. I was getting tired of getting whooped. He said, Randy, from now on, he said, when you're bad, he said, I'm not going to whip you anymore. Oh, this is my lucky day. He said, but from now on, if you're bad, you're going to whip me because I'm tired of whipping you, and I want you to know what it feels like for me to have to whip you every time you mess up. I'm tired of it. And I'm like, well, if you're making no rules. Next day I was bad again, of course. And Dad goes, okay, let's go to the bedroom. And I was wondering if he remembered the deal, you know. And he pulled his belt off, and I'll never forget it. He handed me his belt, and he got down on his hands and knees, and he handed me the belt, and he said, Randy, I want you to whip me. And I took a hold of the belt, and I'd always been taught to honor my mom and dad, and I was just, at that point in time, I was having a hard time with it, and Dad said, I want you to give me a whipping, Randy. I'm serious about this. He said, I'm tired of whipping you. And he said, hit me, and he hollered at me. So I kind of tapped him on the butt a little bit. And I broke down and I started crying. I said, Dad, I said, I can't whip you. I just can't do it. I said, you can whip me all you want, but I can't. And Dad says, I hope you understand what it feels like every time I have to whip you. And I got up from that moment, and something happened that day in my heart that changed my life. No longer did I want to transgress against my father. In a couple of months later, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, Randy, that's what Jesus did for you. He took the whipping for your sins. He didn't deserve. My dad didn't deserve to get a whipping because he wasn't the one to transgress. I deserve the whipping, but Jesus took the whipping for you and for me. So today, over 2,000 years later, we can come and we can sing because he lives. I can face tomorrow and we can take selfies of people and we take pictures of people and we can say, we want those pictures to be in heaven. When we get to heaven, we want everybody in this room to be in heaven. We don't want anybody to miss heaven because that's what this is all about. That's what the cross represents, so that we can all make it to heaven because this is such a short time. Amen. God wants you to be in heaven. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. We thank you, Lord, that you provided forgiveness, even though we have all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided a way where we can make a choice to follow you, not by chance, but intentionally make a choice to make you the Lord of our lives. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, let me tell you something. The scripture says that we have all sinned. I've sinned. Everybody on staff has sinned. Everybody in this church has sinned. But he said if we confess our sin, he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But you see, we have to make that choice. Here's the way he put it. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open, I will come in and I will be with them. That's what he's talking about, our body being a temple. See, God wants to be with you so desperately bad because he created a void in all of our hearts that only he can fill. We can try to fill it up with a lot of different things out in life, but only Jesus can satisfy your soul. So this morning, if you've never invited him into your heart, maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand and say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Yep, thank you, thank you. Leave your hands up. We're going to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. We don't want to miss anybody. Anybody else? Yep, thank you. Leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it. Thank you in the back and right here at the front. Thank you. Anybody else? Once you get your Bible, you can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else? Before we move on, thank you in the back. I appreciate it. Anybody else? The greatest decision you will ever make in your life. We're talking about reservations this morning in a place called heaven for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Before we move on. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Back in the bleachers, anybody? Slip your hand up high. I don't want to miss anybody. Yep, thank you. Yep, thank you. Everybody that raised your hands, I want you to look up at me if you raise your hand. I'm going to invite you to come up and let me pray with you. Everybody that raised your hand, come on. I'm going to meet you up here. And we're going to say a prayer. Bless you, brother. I'm so proud of you. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Oh, I love you. Thank you. Stay here. Bless you, buddy. Bless you. Bless you. I'm so proud of you. Bless you, girl. Bless you, sweetie. Oh, I love you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. Come on, if you raise your hand, I want to pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Listen, Jesus wasn't ashamed of us when he hung on the cross. Hey, baby, how are you? I'm glad you're here. Anybody else? Raise your hand. You want to come down. Here's what. Listen, if y'all could just wait a minute. Don't be moving around till we get through here. We're doing business for Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that Jesus is alive, we'll be saved. Because Jesus is alive, we can have eternal life. Yeah, thank you, buddy. I'm glad you come down. Okay, so what I wanted to do, and listen, if you raised your hand and you didn't come down and you want to accept Christ, it's not about walking down the aisle, it's about changing your heart. Let God change your heart as you pray this prayer. Y'all repeat after me, okay? And y'all help us pray. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, now let me tell you something. This is the first day for the rest of your life. You were born on your birthday. This is your spiritual birthday. It's April the 1st. Easter Sunday, always remember, and you can write it down in your Bible, this is the day that you committed your life, because it is a commitment. And I'm so proud of you guys. Listen, if you don't mind, we got some people over here that want to pray with you over in this little prayer tent. If you don't mind, just walk over there. I thank you all so much. I appreciate you. Bless you, buddy. Very proud of you. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, I got a question for you. How many, just being honest this morning, will say, preacher, my commitment level to God isn't what it ought to be, and I need to be more committed to him than I've ever been before? Raise your hand. That's good. That's good. I just encourage you. Here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are. What he's saying is that we all need church. Let me say that one more time. I said, we all need church. And so it's not about church, but it's about growing in him and allowing our spiritual self to grow and to be stronger in him. And it's just the way that he made it. So I just encourage you all. Show up for church. Get in your Bible and read your Bible every day and then ask God to speak to your life. So everybody that raised your hand, let's raise both hands. And even if you didn't raise your hand and you'd like to get closer to God, raise your both hands anyway. And I want to pray for you. Lord, I lift everybody up here this morning. I pray, oh God, as we surrender to you, as an act of surrender, we raise our hands, oh God, and pray, oh God, that you would just bless your people, bless your church. Help us, Lord, to follow you closely. Lord, I pray that you would just, as we endeavor to be who you've created us to be, oh God, that you'd give us wisdom and liberty. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. We love y'all. God bless you. If you need special prayer, we'd love to have you. We have our prayer team over here in the tent. God bless y'all. Thank you.